Are we awake? Amen. See, this is the one time I say good morning that it's applicable. It's morning. Amen. I just want to read something to you that the Lord told me yesterday when I was driving home. He said, I want you to read Matthew 5. And I said, Lord, I know what that is. That's the Beatitudes. He said, I've read that 100 times. And I had been looking for this Bible. It's a parallel, and it's got the King James, and it's got the Amplified in it. And so I sat there all day fighting with it, because, you know, sometimes you're just tired. So finally I said, okay, God, I'm sorry for my rebellion, and I got my Bible, and I started reading. He said, no, read in the other side, in the Amplified. So I just want to read to you in the Amplified, not the whole chapter, but a good portion of it in the Amplified, because there's something that is very important. Everything is very important in the Word, but I just want you to hear blessed. And it gives an explanation of what blessed is. Happy, to be envied or spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Are the poor in spirit, the humble who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, happy, blissome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the meek, the mild, repent, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed and fortunate are happy and spiritually prosperous in the state in which born-again child of God enjoys his favor of salvation, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and rightly standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. Blessed, happy, to be envied and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Blessed. And I keep reading to you the explanation of blessed, because in every time it's listed, it says, regardless of their outward condition, your joy, your peace, the presence of God in your life is not determined by the outward condition. It's determined by this. It's determined by your walk with the Lord. Some people are going through some struggles. Some people are going through sickness and disease. And I've heard people say, what did I do for this to come upon me? What did I do? Why did God put this upon you? Or put upon me? And you have to stop and say, wait a minute. God puts no, only perfect gifts come from above. God is not the author of confusion. So if you're confused about what's going on, it certainly is not the God that I serve. It's not the God of this word. Amen? It's not the God you serve. If there is sickness in your body, it's either one of two things. We've either done things, put things into it, or made movements that have hurt our body, right? Or it's an attack of the enemy to stop you from getting and going where you're supposed to go. Amen? Regardless of your outward condition, you are blessed. You are highly favored. You are the head and not the tail. You are exceedingly abundantly made in the image of God. But he says exceedingly abundantly, much more than we may ask or think. We are that. We are his exceedingly abundantly. He put us on this earth for his purpose and his plan. Amen? The end of the book is already written. How many of you have read it or heard about the end of the book? We win. The victory is ours. Jesus paid it for on the cross. And we run through this life. And many are the afflictions of the righteous. Like, how many times do we have to say this? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers us out of all. You win. You win. Quit taking your moment that you're in. This is a season that you're in, and thinking it's your life. Because that's not truth. Your life is filled with the goodness of God. Your life is filled with peace and joy. And if we start taking it to our confessions and we start reading his promises, the outward conditions have to release. Amen? Amen. Let's just get up and praise him this morning. Let's just thank him for everything that he's done. Let's just give him glory. Whether you see the victory at this moment or not, because you've seen in the word that the victory's in the end, let's just give him the glory for that. Amen?
The night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a bag of bones. And just when no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning, hey, like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving, hey, 'cause you're not welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son is found his way back home. You picked me up, you turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep it moving, hey, 'cause you're not welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son is found his way back home. Turn me around, you place my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. He picks me up and turns me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. Because you healed my heart, you changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. You picked me up,
come on.
You turned me around, you placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior.
I thank the Master.
the things. I want to magnify your worth. I want to bring you more than words. I enter the gates, come reckless with praise. I bring a heart that wants you first, all for your glory. I enter the gates, nothing but things. I want to magnify your worth. I want to bring you more than words. I enter the gates, come reckless with praise. I bring a heart that wants you first, all for your glory, all for you, Jesus.
You know, anytime Jesus healed anybody or he delivered anybody, there was always a commandment to get up, to take up your bed and walk. Lazarus, come forth! Some of you are sitting in a cage that you've built all by yourself, and Jesus has already kicked down your door, and he's telling you to get up! Get up! Come forth! Rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk. If you will just change your atmosphere, enter his gates, get before him in praise and worship, and get up. We expect the unexpected today. Lord God, we are looking to you because you're where our help comes from, Father. Father, we just lift you up this day. We exalt you, Father God. Even when things don't look good, Lord, we're going to sing your praises. We're going to glorify your name, Lord God, for you are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to do that song. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do yours, and then we'll figure out something else. But there's got to be some shouting in here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to throw a new song on you this morning.
Goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God all my life. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything.
That you built. This is a house, Father God, that your spirit moves around in, Father God, and touches your people. This is your house, Father God. And it is open for you to do whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want, Lord God. Father, we are servants here to serve you. And I thank you today, Father God, that you are moving and doing what you do. I thank you that you are touching, you are setting free, you are healing, you are making all things new, Father God. You are giving beauty for ashes. You're giving a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Father, you who does exceedingly abundantly above all we may ask or think. Whew, Lord, we give you glory.
This is a place of
Working it out on our behalf, that you never sleep, you never slumber, But Lord, you're watching. You are watching. Hallelujah, Father, we give you glory. We give you glory this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if we're ready for you, but it's time for
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, we're talking about labor today. We need to work while we can. I said, we need to work while we can. Just set up. Just remember that.
Did you know that there's a lens on one of those things?
I love it. I tricked you.
I'm just asking.
I tricked you. Does the Lord say, look with your natural eye? Or does he say, come out here and seek me and
Amen.
Find me so
Amen.
You can see through my eyes?
Yes.
You can hear through
yes.
my eyes?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, baby.
Okay. We got announcements today. Amen. After service, we have the women's conference meeting.
Woo!
Ladies that are helping, if you'll meet with us afterwards.
Amen. And I'm not going to say too much about the women's meeting, except for the food will not be ordinary. It shall be extraordinary, because it will not just be made with natural hands, but it will be made in unity with the Holy Ghost. We're going to cook all up in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead.
Amen.
Now wait, I could interrupt
you. He stayed here last night praying all night long.
So
I am not responsible for his behavior today.
Okay.
I'm going to try to keep him under control, but you know how that works. Phil, come up here.
Okay. I ain't even going to lie. I'm not going to be hermeneutically correct today. We're in the field. I know we usually do it on Thursday night, but if you can see, I got my battle gear on today. Because Thursday night boot camp. What'd you say? Yeah. We're going to throw some hands today. Listen, you need a little cushion between me and you, devil.
Stop
I'm
it.
Merciful.
You
but anyhow,
all know that you don't go tell anybody he's my husband, right? Woo-hoo. Like, this is not what Baby. We do. Outside Baby. Of here, I have to claim him inside. But outside, we even drove separate. So...
That's
Bless
what
the Lord.
That's what messed me up, too, guys, because you know how I have vaginitis. I went out to the store just to pick up something I really did need, because I didn't want to be like David this morning. I'm not going to tell you all that story. But anyhow, I was in the line at McDonald's, and all of a sudden, something happened. Power went out. I don't know. So I'm in this long line, and the only reason I'm there, because I don't like McDonald's food. I don't like Panera Bread. Guys, if you like Panera Bread, even my nephew, KG'ser, Jay, I'm talking to you, Panera Bread man. That's a ladies' restaurant.
Why are you looking straight forward? The camera's always over there. It's never changed.
Oh, that's a ladies' restaurant. KG'ser, Panera Bread man, come on. Take me where there's a piece of steak and potato, but because I got vaginitis...
Right.
Us husbands know vaginitis could be Deanna-itis. Jared has Linda-itis. I see him over there in the cage. His wife starts singing, Miss O. So I have vaginitis. There's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, babe, come up
but
here.
But anyhow,
Let's get moving.
I was at the line at McDonald's. Everything goes black. She calls me and says, honey, what are you doing? You need to get here. I said, okay, baby, I can't come back here with no iced tea. So I said, that's it. I pulled my car out of line. I ran all the way around. There was a man that was a working man, and I'm striding getting to the door. He said, it's closed, brother. I said, what? He said, I did the same thing. He said, but I was the last one in because something happened. They closed the lobby. All you can do is go through the drive-thru. And I thought, how many cars do I have to pick up and get out of the way? And I said, no, that wouldn't be God. So I had to come back. But
amen.
Secretly,
so let's...
you may still have gotten iced tea because I love you, baby.
Okay. Come up here.
I'm relaxed.
Okay, so then what do we have? So we have the women's conference. It's October 16th. Remember, we have Pastor Alicia Turner coming
Amen.
Over from my
Whoa! House.
Pastor, you most of you know why I'm telling him, don't start. We got to get through this. If you do, you're grounded, you're leaving, and I'll preach. Grounded.
If I don't, will I get a kiss later?
Later, when nobody's around. Behave.
I get a kiss?
Later, when nobody's around.
Okay.
At home in the privacy of our own house.
Okay,
so Pastor Alicia Turner is coming to us from Lighthouse in Cary, Ohio. So we're excited about Pastor Alicia coming. And then we have Pastor Nicole Waters from our Bodkins, from our main house. And
Amen.
Then I'll be following it up at the end. And we're going to have a great time in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So continue praying for us. Continue fasting. And, man, just come expecting. So we're going to have a meeting again after today. Trying to think, we have Christy Amico joining us on September 30th on Thursday.
Come on
you
now.
Want to come out to that. Amen? If you were here the last time, you definitely are coming out again, I have no doubt. It starts at 7 o'clock. If you were not here, come. You missed it. And he is also going to be joining us Friday night at 7. And then he'll be back again with us Sunday morning. Well, I said yes.
Friday night.
Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
Amen.
And we're excited about that. And you all be in prayer. We're going to do something we haven't ever done before. Chris D'Amico wanted to do a pastor's leadership conference. And so there is a conference happening here for pastors and leadership on that Saturday. It starts at 10. So be praying for all of that and that the Lord would do everything he wants to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, I've got.
I
feel like
good.
It's not. No, we have the chili cook-off.
Whoa!
October 8th, hey. Right here. And it starts at 6 o'clock. Amen?
Ooh, right here. Only Believe. Kenton,
Amen.
Ohio.
So come out for the chili cook-off. Just a great time of fellowship. Don't worry. You have a chance to win. I'm not entering mine. So you got a chance to win. That was supposed to be a joke. You could laugh. It's fine. There's
Amen.
Challenge
Speak
thrown
faith,
out.
Speak faith, girls. Speak faith.
Amen.
Tell
and it's,
them. Now,
listen,
my chili's made we don't all
have,
the Holy
We don't
Ghost.
Have mean competitions. We have fun, friendly competitions.
Amen.
Amen. We do.
Hold on a minute.
We've
well,
had,
we won't talk about
We've yes. had to calm a few people down yeah. before, yeah. but they promised to be calm this time. Amen. Okay, so then we have the celebration of life. The baby celebration next Sunday after church.
When?
And we're going to have a carry-in for that. So
it's Whoa!
It's co-ed. Everybody stay
co-ed,
for
Co-ed, I get to come too. Whoa!
If you calm down, oh, we might let you come.
All right. Man.
Amen. Amen. Am I forgetting anything else? The prayer box. That's a good
Where is
yes.
the prayer box?
It's out on the table where it's supposed to be. You don't have to get it. I don't know. I wasn't here. Brian was with him. It's Brian's fault. I don't know. I imagine he's been praying in the Holy Ghost all night and he just fired up.
Woo, the power of God's up in this place.
We have a prayer box and we would like anybody that has any prayer requests to put it in here. And the prayer team comes in on Wednesdays at 5, anybody is welcome to join them. And they pray over them, and then they put them on pastor's desk, and then we pray over them.
Amen.
So we make sure that they're all prayed over.
Not only that, but why would we have the prayer team pray over them, and then we pray over them? The Lord says what? If two agree, nothing's impossible. Then he has the nerve to give us an upper opportunity. He says, if two or more are gathered in my name. So if we're going to have the prayer team gather, and then we gather, and I have leaders and us leadership in unity, devil! Kenton, Ohio is free.
Amen.
I curse you and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Not only is this a house of miracles, but this region is open. Angels will ascend and descend over the epicenter of Kenton, Ohio. I was in Hawaii. They thought I was nuts.
Well.
Because I was out there. Listen. I was up early in the morning. I bet Regina and everybody. Well, I'll see that at the opening of my message. You ready?
Yes.
You done?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, well, let's release the children. It is for right now. All I'm doing is getting in trouble. It's her fault. She let me be up here all by myself last night.
Well, Brian.
And Brian, obviously, I didn't get this way by myself. The quiet storm over there. He's quiet on the outside. But when we're all up in here by ourselves, the inner man, Brian, comes out and the heavens are rended, brother. I'm just telling you.
Okay, the pants were not a plan today. Let's just tell you the pants. We're not a plan. He had to go get those because his other pants had holes. So don't think that this is proper attire for him on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. Now, first of all, you guys know on Thursdays, I like to bring it down a little bit and be more casual. But you know I'm still spoiled, and I want to please my mama. See, in today's world, you don't have to wear a suit anywhere. But I'm telling you, my mama would be looking down saying, boy, what's wrong with you? If the pastor's coming over, if the president's coming over. And oh, by the way, you ain't going with me shopping after you've been dirty outside playing. Go take a bath and get yourself clean, because you better have clean drawers on. If something happens, we got to go to the hospital. Amen? So I got to tell you something. I like to dress in my warrior clothes on Thursday, but I do like to wear my nicer stuff on Sunday because, number one, I was raised, and number two, if what I have on is my best, God's cool with it.
Amen.
Listen, I want you to know something. If I came through that door drunk, stinking, and in my eight-day-old clothes, and you could smell me from the back there to up here, and you put your nose up in the air, you're cursed and I'm blessed.
Yes, come on.
The church has been arrogant, cocky, disrespectful towards God and man when they thought they were all about themselves. Puffed up, acting all like you're better than somebody else. At least I'm better than her. At least I'm better than this person. Shut up. Get your disgusting stuff out of the way. Get your arrogance down. And I tell you what, if it comes through there broke, busted, disgusted, even if he smells bad, let's hug him and love him until he's cleaned up and can stand on his own. Because Jesus said, suffer not those little children to come under me. And the disciples were like, Lord, them kids are street kids. Because Israel kids already knew they weren't supposed to go up there. They're sitting over there all behaved. Them kids were street kids. And if you've ever been overseas like me, America's about the only place you can get huggies on a regular basis. In a certain country, I won't tell you which, a woman will be carrying her baby. When the baby has to go to the bathroom, she pushes the baby up, lifts its back half up, girl or boy, and then she gets wraps that top, wraps it back up, and keeps walking. We're so spoiled. Jesus said, hey, don't hold those children back just because they ain't dressed right, just because they ain't looking right. I don't care if they're dirty or not. I want one dirty diaper on my knee. I'll take another one in my hand. Let the unclean kids come to me, because when I let them go, they'll be the cleanest in the land. Come on, we're going to have to get beyond ourselves if we're going to be the church of the second mile and if we're really going to love people. I don't want to ever see an arrogant look at someone where they... One time, I won't say where I was at church, but there was a young lady that worked with me at my job, Hobart. And I ministered to that girl for 5 years. Finally, she said, Pastor Phil... And I said, what are you doing? We're at work. She said, that's what we call you behind your back anyway. She said, I'm ready to go to church. I said, well, go on to church. Unfortunately, where she went to church, They smiled in her face behind their back. They went into the bathroom and said, "Did you meet so-and-so?" Can you believe that she's wearing those jeans from 5 years ago's design that I could have got for 50 cents at Goodwill? Needless to say, my 5 years of work went down the drain in a second because she walked out the door, walked out the back, and I came to look for her and said, "Hey, what happened?" She said, "We'll talk about it in a week after you pray for me." Come on, people. If I ever hear, and I will hear it, you talking one more time behind, I'm not saying we do. Let's just say the church. Talking one more time behind someone's back or on Facebook. I tell you, I'm going to pray that God starts bringing judgment on us. See, you guys wish you hadn't let me pray in here. Listen, I'm going to do offering. And then I'm going to get in the Word today. And your worship team was beautiful. Amen. They had me dancing.
Sorry. Huh? Oh, that's okay, baby.
No.
You promised for later. I'm just using my faith. Regina Itis, she gets close to me. It takes over.
I'm
trying, baby. I've been praying for 25 years for that woman to give me a kiss in church. We could come in here by ourselves in any church in the world. And if it's just me and her, I'll say, "Honey, it's just me, you, and Jesus. Can you kiss me?" She'll say, "Phil, not in the sanctuary." So now I trick her and I try to get her in the office. I say, "Honey, nobody's around. The office door is closed. Can I get a kiss?" She said, "Phil, not in the house of God." She's so cute. "I missed you, babe. I missed you." Okay, I'm picking it up. Okay. Not my fault. It's Regina Itis, man. You can't, you know, some things you get symptoms from, you can't control.
Wow.
I'm looking this way, but my eyes are in the back of my head, so I hope I can read that way. Amen. Look what the Bible says here. You know, I want you to look, because we're going to be very serious this month as we talk about labor. Can you believe I have a title with just one word? Labor! You're going to wear that word out by the time we get to the end of September. But nine means a time of transition. We know that nine means giving birth. Any of you, except unless you go to only believe Kenton, Ohio. Then we believe in 4 weeks and 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Because the curse has been lifted. No woman should have to go through 9 months when you can handle 4 weeks and 2 weeks. Amen, right? But listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. When I came out here jumping, what song were we singing? "I Thank God." Let me tell you something. I remember when I first got saved. And I'm telling you, you've not seen nothing yet until when you cross over onto that other side and you feel the rejuvenation of Christ himself and you realize that your years of labor, not giving up, your years of fighting off pains and disappointments, and I'm telling you, when we step on those streets of gold, until that day, I'm telling you, labor, fight, work it out, get over it. Don't be offended, because we want vengeance to be mine, saith the Lord. Listen, you can, my mom used to sing a song, "You can talk about me just as much as you please. The more you talk, I'm going to stay on my knees, because the Lord has been mighty good to me." Now listen to me. We've got to sing praise when difficulty comes. What brought the angel to open up the doors and let the apostles come out? In their darkest hour, knowing that they were going to be beheaded in the morning, they were singing praise. And before you know it, the prison's doors were shaking. See, some of us are you. Oh, let me do the offering. When I make big, bold statements, I like to put scripture behind them. Jesus says, it's written. Now, Miss Linda, you're lucky Jared ain't out here because I'd have him grab a hold of you and help lift you up. Because I want you to see this. Satan did not come to Christ and just talk to him or come and manipulate him from a distance like we deal with. Satan actually picked Jesus up and ascended up to a mountainous place. Why do you think that can't happen anymore? Because Jesus labored and took the keys of the kingdom and reduced Satan's headship. So that's why the devil has never picked up another man. And he shouldn't have picked up the warrior Jesus. Because even when he was a lamb, he displayed his lion side to be when he said, it's written, boy. It's written, boy. And then once he said it the third time, once for the Father, once for the Son, three for the Holy Ghost, Satan had to run. Listen, y'all better get with me on this. One. Oh, that was two. Three. Y'all better get ready to step up to a new place. If you're going to be a part of this house and you're already here, it's your fault. You looked at this foolish stuff and said, I don't know why, but I believe. And y'all came into this atmosphere that you helped create. This is not my church. It's not me and Pastor Regina's church. This is God's church. We are the leadership, but it's our church. Amen. Say this with me. Our church.
Our church.
One more time. Our church.
Our church.
Oh, come on, Miss Regina. We're going to pray for your son next week because I heard that up here. Let's do it one more time. Our church. Okay, you just took unity to a brand new level. Miracles are in the atmosphere right now. Listen. Nothing comes without a price. I know you guys think I'm jumping around, but I'm not. I'm just letting you sit on that for a minute. So how many of you believe in King David? How many of you think that King David labored a little bit? The lion, the bear, Goliath? My sweetie pie just gave me a signal. Offering. That's what I'm doing, baby. Okay. I know I look like I'm out there in La La Land, but I promise you we're headed towards offering because we know David understood that nothing came without a price. See, in this world we're creating right now, we got to be careful because I don't mind paying somebody's rent if they're going to get up. Uh-oh. I don't mind buying you food if you're going to get up. You know, I like food. I'll eat with you. Praise God. I might have to stop and pray in the Holy Ghost in between, depending on how good it is. But I will eat with you and help you. But I got to see you want to get up. See, I came in here dancing this morning because I have a revelation of how he picked me up, turned me around, and he has my feet so planted on the solid ground that I cannot be defeated here in the second heaven or up there. We all, if we would step into it, walk in an authority and a power, but somehow the church has left themselves and are listening to so much trash around them that nobody is word-based anymore. I used to remember that when bad things happened in the world, I didn't have to come in and get a repeat story of the news. I came into a group of women that said, did y'all hear? Did y'all see? Yep. And that's all they said. And the next thing they went, oh, Lord, Father. Oh, Jesus, come. Oh, Lord, shagalala, branda, oh! You know, now we got to come in and talk 15 points of the disappointing death stuff out there. And then we leave 2 minutes. Come up here. Miss Linda, if you feel a little soul. You might want to hit that every now and then in between months. Woo, you don't have to, but Ah, come on, woo. Now listen to me. I'm going to really hit us hard today, so I'm trying to slow step you into it. I'm going to hit you hard. Say, hit me hard, Pastor. Oh, say, we're in training. We are a part of Kenton, Ohio, where they believe in doing training for football. Amen. I tell you what, I have seen kids limping around, but they still get back on the football field. I want you to know that sometimes they take hard shots, and from what I understand, our team is losing game after game, not by small margins, but guess what? On Friday night, they're still going on the field, and we're still going out there paying our money to see them. What I want to know is, are we going to be the church of the second mile that will sacrifice to come here and pay the price it takes to labor and see God? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of labor where you go in and work and God strengthens you and you can work a 10-hour day and still sing. 10-hour day and bring a little extra home to take my babe out. That's the type of labor that I like. It's the type of labor that God paid a price for. We'll look at Scripture. It says that not only will I bless the work of your hands, but I'll give you witty inventions so you can be independent businessmen and women not living on a government paycheck. The Lord will feed you. He will bless you. But you got to be willing to get up. Now, we're going to look at a scripture here because we're doing offering. And I'm just giving them a little warm-up to my message. you know, I'm just kidding you. You don't have to. But if you want to, it's all right. Have you ever watched black preachers on TV? And I said, woo! Ah! Yeah! I don't know why, but honey, I've been thinking about my mama a lot and remembering the good old days. Why don't you let your mind run? Your mind run back. Used to be a little old place. Sitting by the railroad track. Just a little shabby old place where we talking about the good times we had. Mighty, mighty good times. Listen, I can remember when I used to lay up under the pew and watch because the ladies was running wild on the pews. And I thought, I don't want them stepping on my head. I'm about as short as a pew right now. Oh, I was that. Bob, I might not be now, but at one time, I was little enough to fit under a chair. Regina will tell you, there was this one lady. She used to have to use her walker, didn't she? Sister Lurleen. Listen, we might take up offering at the end because it's just going to fit into my message. Is that okay? And if we get to the end, y'all know that sometimes I ain't even thinking about your offering. Not because I don't want to give you the opportunity to sow seed, but I'm all up about souls and stuff. So y'all got to do the flag and remind me. But listen, Miss Lurleen, she used to sing. Huh? Do you remember the song she sang? Oh, she used to say, "You can talk about me." And she's up here, Parkinson's, shaking a little bit. "You can talk about me just as much as you please." Didn't she, honey? "But the more you talk, I'm going to stay on my knees." And before you knew it, she done left that. She done left that. "Because the Lord has been mighty good to me. That's why I'm faithful, so faithful, so faithful to thee. I'm grateful." I said faithful because it's grateful. "I'm grateful. So mighty grateful." And she'd just come up off of that Parkinson's and off of that walker and be throwing down in the realm of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever seen that in your own life recently? Is it because God don't want it? Or is it because we are the church, but we're a sleeping giant right now? Now, this is your offering message, but are you going to go sit down? Nope, go sit down. She heard me say I was going to do offering at the end. You're good. You can go sit down. You can go sit down. Okay, I won't assist myself. I can't play an instrument. Okay, Lord, I repent. That's not true. I won't play an instrument. Okay, that's better. I heard you. Listen, I got to tell you guys something. I was in Hawaii with my wife. And we had friends with our trip. And honey, I know you don't want me to tell this story because you hate this kind of stuff, but I have to tell it. I was in Hawaii on a trip. And the way we got that trip is that woman released favor on some friends of ours because about 10 years before that, we were thinking for the first time about doing something beyond ourselves. Because until that time, we were poverty stricken. And I remember years ago, we talked with this couple, and we said, hey, we could go to Hawaii. Then we looked at the bill and said, we better use our faith to go down to McDonald's and get a milkshake. But anyhow, all these years later, we're sitting in Hawaii. Regina's deciding that it's too whatever. She don't like it as well as that other place. Not saying anything bad, Miss Rita. It's beautiful. But she said, honey, I like it, but... you know, that other place, because we've discovered God there, that's why. But she said, but if we could take this person and this person, go ahead and tell them that we'll come back. So my wife's decision put favor on our friends, and we got to go back to Hawaii again. And while we were there, the Lord was saying, Philip, you are the same boy that used to you look up and shake and hide when a big plane would go across. Philip, you're the same boy that used to be so afraid because you had a relative drown that you said you were never going to learn to swim and you would never get on a boat. He said, do you know how much water you traveled to be here today? And then Miss Regina loves the water. And he gave her to me partly for that reason, because I'll chase that girl anywhere. So she likes water. I hate water. And I used to get on there trembling just to be by Regina Itis. But now I don't mind it at all. But God said to me, Philip, you're the same boy in that field in Ohio that said, I will never get on a plane and I'll never get on a boat. Now I've done that stuff repeatedly because I said, God, how can I be the same boy? He said, because you're thinking about your life, circumstances, and the decisions you made. He says, I always see you as I created you from the foundation. I look at the beginning from the end, and then from the beginning. He said, so you right now, young man, in Hawaii today, able to take care of your wife, a whole nother couple, out here acting crazy, they're wondering where you are, you're giving away too much money. But I was walking in this place that looks similar to the dream I had of my mother when she died. And I used to just like to walk out there and pray early in the morning in that place because it looked so much like a dream I had of my mother when she was up in heaven. Now, I will tell you that God told me, Philip, this ain't nothing like heaven. Because I can't even put it in words for you right now. He said, there's no word in American English or any other language that can truly describe heaven and the wonderment when you get here. He said, so this Hawaii and different places, Aruba and all the mountains and all that stuff, he said, it can stir you up and help you dream. He said, but remember, that's a second heaven experience. When you come up here, there's words in heaven that can't even be spoken on the earth because I'll crush the earth until I redeem it. If you don't like what I have to say, just go read in the book of Revelations. Jesus says that he's coming back with a name written that you can't even speak on the earth until he touches his foot down here. And I hate to disappoint you, but none of you will speak English in heaven. You might as well just get used to this language. Because the Bible says there's languages of angels There's language of men, and then there's languages of heaven that we can't even speak yet. I'm tuning you up for Thursday night's teaching on the Holy Ghost. But I love English, but it's not going to be up there. Labor. Sacrifice. Isn't it interesting how we like to say in modern times, oh, it's all the grace of God. We exist all by the grace of God. There's nothing I can do. Liar. The Lord says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What are you doing saying whatever God will do, will do? That's not how life works. Whatever you decide will be done. Because he's already set you free. He's already anointed you and appointed you. And you better get ready to labor. Now, I want you to know that before I go too far, I didn't even get the offering message yet. There's a beautiful church called New Hope. And New Hope is at the north part of our city, right? And they're building a brand new building. Well, I tell you what, me and Miss Regina went to be with Brother Pastor Jason Mann, and we got to walk through the new complex. We got to see the beautiful sanctuary, and he even said something that some people had given something in the front, and I won't tell you the cost, but it got me excited right away because it started with the number 5. Grace was in their foyer before they ever stepped into the sanctuary. Then we went all the way to the back, and we saw all this stuff, and while we were in the back, because I didn't want to do it in the sanctuary in front of people, that's where we had a nice little private prayer. And I got to tell you something. He was excited. We were excited. We're so proud of him and his church and his family. And he told me the story. He said, well, Pastor Philip, he said, my dad pastored for 8 years, new beginnings. He said, and I've been pastoring for 13 years. 8 plus 13 is 21. 3 generations and 3 foundations of completion. 7, 7, 7. 1 generation for the Father. 1 generation for the Son. 3rd generation for the Holy Ghost. Come on, New Hope. Get ready to run. Now listen, we're going to pray for them because I'm telling you, they've been through battles just like we incur. They've had people. I'm telling you, here's what we've got to remember. The reward for you pressing into God is you're going to get hit by the devil. Sacrifice, pain, he's coming. Just biblically read. Jesus gets baptized. The heavens open. The presence is so thick that his Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it came up and the Holy Ghost fell upon him like a dove. And everybody celebrated and said, that's Jesus. Let's run with him. Nope. Immediately he went to the wilderness. And instead of getting a celebration, the devil met him. It's written. When you sacrifice the presence of God, you're going to get popped. But you're a warrior. You're a fighter. You're a wildcat. And so when he tries to pop you, come up here and do what I want you to do. It's written, I shall serve the Lord my God only. See, some of us as Christians still have problems because you still got your members serving Satan. Saved on Sunday, cussing on Monday. Saved on Tuesday, watching wrong stuff on Tuesday night. Listen, that's got to stop. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Now, I'm still doing the offering message. I'm taking it up at the end, but I'm doing the offering message right now because I'm going to start with the offering scripture. Stay out of my business. I love you. But talk to me afterward. No, listen to this. Sacrifice, hardship, warring is going to cost you something. But if you hang with the Lord, he will bring you out. Remember, Jesus himself was the most blessed on the entire earth. But to pay a price for you, he had to go to the lowest point ever, suffer in a way that he should never have to be suffering, But when he did it, resurrection, he saved everybody. Amen? So here's where we're at. New Hope has been doing their thing, but they have been in battle just like we were. But I'm telling you that Pastor Jason Mance said to me and Regina that his prayer and his hope with the church is that they're going to get to open by October. Isn't that what he said? Is that okay for me to say? I should have asked him. I already told him that we were going to pray for him, and he was excited about it. So now here's what we're going to say. One for the Father, two for the Son, three for the Holy Ghost. New Hope, we're with you. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and run. I pray that it opens. Now stand with me, and we're going to pray for this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our friends, because a friend will stick closer than a brother. We lift up our friends. We lift up our family of faith. We lift up the protection of this city on the north side, and we declare new hope. Thank God you're here. A father that served 8 years, a son that has served 13, 21 years, let them have such a powerful opening that, God, I pray it be October. But if it's November or December, God, I pray that the foundations of Kenton, Ohio are shaken. Because as the churches join together, as we put our faith together, as we believe God for every pastor, every church in this city to come closer to you, God, to develop their plans, to release the visions that are in them, God, it will wreak havoc in the devil's kingdom to the point where he is already destroyed. But we will see his hand lift, and we will live in the glory and the power of God. Now we declare whatever finances they need, God, whatever they need to finish this project, God, we thank you that New Hope's new facility is open and filled, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Our job is to restore unity. Our job is to walk in unity and not just care about this facility, but care about every church in this area. I pray that every church in Kenton doubles and triples and grows to its extent, because I'm believing, God, that this whole city will be saved. No. Is saved. Not will be, is. I believe, God, that every person in Kenton can fit into a church, and we could be the first city in all of the nation that says 100% of our citizens are Christians. Now, why would I even have faith for that? Because we were in Africa, and I stood on a platform with Pastor Dosik in the city of Mogogoshek. And they had not had rain for like so many months that they were all in famine. And we prayed, and I'm telling you, before we took two steps, it began to rain. And rain followed us from that city all the way back to Kenya, Africa, where we had to get on the plane. And that chief of that city called and said, my goodness, after all the miracles, after everything that's happened here, after this cursed famine has been broken, every citizen in this city is a Christian. See, you guys should want to kick me out of here every now and then and send me overseas, because number one, I'm sure your ears don't swell up and hurt like a cauliflower ear after I'm gone. Gives you a little break for a couple weeks. But here's why. I got that revelation over there, and I came back, and I've been praying that over Kenton ever since I heard it. I'm telling you, I believe that one day, you know, I wish they wouldn't park in our yard. But some of the baseball people came and parked in our yard this year, and I started to say, hey. But then all of a sudden the Lord said, Philip, what are you going to do when they crush your flowers, when they destroy everything you guys decorated out here, because the cars flood in here because they rush to the altar for Jesus. Do you hear what I said? Even if I got me a flower pot out there that we invested 2 weeks in, if someone runs it over drunk and comes in here and gets saved, we're going to be glad we sacrificed the flower pot. Listen, you guys better be ready, because there's some things that I have a responsibility. And I'm not saying this in some stinking cocky manner. Listen, when we were at our old facility, your pastor had to walk down 12 steps every Sunday and every Thursday. When I walked down those 12 steps, I'd say, Lord, please, like the 12 disciples, like the 12 tribes, like the 12 laws of your kingdom that creates a government, when I walk down these steps, God, cause me to decrease. You increase. None of me, all of you. When I walk down these steps, if I've sinned, cleanse me. If there's something in me, take it away, God. But when I walk up these steps out of 809 Detroit Street to that platform, I will not speak, but you'll speak. Listen, just because I'm walking on one level, if you think your nutty pastor has forgotten the humility of where we started, I'll never forget when we bought that building. I was in there fasting for the first 21 days, and it was just a couple days before we opened up, and the young man I was fasting with said, oh, Philip, brother, you guys are opening in next week. I don't want to tell you what's going on. I said, oh, just tell me. And he said, look, and there was water in the basement. But while everybody saw natural water, I felt the Lord say, Philip, you're digging up the wells of the generations that used to live in the Holy Ghost before you. Then I found out that Smith Wigglesworth's right-hand man came and preached on that same pulpit. And that nasty-looking water that looked nasty, to me, I said, man, this represents the rivers of God starting to flow in this city. So just like the crazy little black man I am, I pulled up my pants legs, and I went down there, and I told the young man, I'm mad at you. He said, why? I said, because what came up to your ankles is all the way up to my knees, man. Tough being short. And then that first time, me and him dipped that water, 7,000 gallons. And then there was another time where me and another brother dipped that water, and it was 9,000 gallons. I said, that's pretty good. They said, what do you mean? Meanwhile, I'd go and buy a book, and I'd write, 7, we've landed in the rest of God. 7,000 gallons of water, the rest of God. Next time, 9,000 gallons. We're getting ready to buy land and transition. Then the next time, the biggest time, we took out 15,000 gallons, whatever that adds up to, of water. Because every time we dumped that bucket, we'd know, suck it up, dump, suck it up, dump, suck it up, dump. And I know guys thought I was crazy when I'd say, how many are we up to? But they had no idea that I thought 15. 3 portions of God's grace. 1 portion for the generation that went before us. 1 portion for us that's living now. And 1 portion for those that are yet left in the womb that will come. Romans chapter 11 says we got a responsibility to the unborn. You better be willing to sacrifice. There was a young Amish man that came to quote trying to fix our basement. And he walked down there. And I said, hey, how you doing? He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, are you helping down here? I said, yeah, I kind of am. I said, but if you're wondering, I'm the pastor. He said, oh, you are? I said, okay. He walked out of there and he said, hey. I said, that's a real man of God. He said, I went to 3 other churches in this area to deal with water. And I don't, it's years ago, so don't be trying to think. See, that's what's wrong with the church. The minute I say something like that, who was it? Who was it? It's not why I'm telling you this story. He said, I have dealt with other ministers in this same city who their water caused them to cuss like a sailor. He said, that dude's not only looking at it, he's in it, digging it out, cleaning up. That's a real man of God. Now, I'm not saying that to make myself anything. I'm reminding you that David said, I would rather be a gatekeeper. I'd rather answer doors in the house of my God than to be a king sitting on the throne. We have got to both be kings and queens, but have the humility to understand that without Christ, we can do nothing. The scripture here where King David goes in, and he just went through such a rough season. You can read the story, but he went through such a rough season. David went through such a rough season. I wrote the wrong scripture down. Somebody has to find it. It's the scripture where in the book of... Oh, no, I got it. I didn't write the wrong scripture down. I looked at the wrong thing. But listen to this now. In the book of 1st or 2nd Samuel 24, David's done lived a long time. You should read about it. And it says right here in verse 23, all these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah, however you say it, said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto whatever his name is, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee. See, David wanted to sacrifice something, and a great king gave him stuff for free to sacrifice, and King David said, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a full price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar unto the Lord. Isn't it amazing that this is the king? Not only does he spend his own money to buy something that they were trying to give him for free, but it says David, not someone else who David paid or not someone else who David instructed. It said that David took off basically his king robes, picked up what would be servant guard, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Labor! See, sometimes we want our healing just to happen. Sometimes we want money just to come. Sometimes we just want something to happen. But I got to tell you something, that each of you know that when you look up the word labor, it means hard work, sweat, difficulty, challenge. You go to work when you're sick. You go to work when you're weak. You go to work when you're sore from your day before. But some reason in the kingdom of God, we don't want to do nothing unless it's handed out to us on a silver platter. That cannot be. Why is the church so weak today? Because we ain't got no power in it. Why don't we have power? I thought I could just sow a seed. You better sow a seed. You better sow financial seeds, and you better sow the word of God in your heart so that you have something to speak instead of just words. I tell you, I don't want to, I will talk to you and I'll pray for you. I'll fast for you. But would be to the Lord that Christians would have as much biblical reference and scriptures about their disease as they do with their leads into the internet medical field on what they got. Listen, if you want to look up all your diagnosis and you want to look up why you got pain and this and that, and you want to look up whatever, just name me off some diseases that we deal with today. Diabetes. If you want to look up everything related to diabetes, please do so. But have me as much as 3 references about the blood. Look up why you're sick, but please be able to tell me about Pastor Phil. 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes I'm healed. Yeah. There's another scripture that says that the doctor told me that I'm in bad shape, but I got to tell you that I told the doctor, whose report shall I believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Woo, woo, woo. They told me that they were going to just kill me and put me down, but I know an old song that says, I'm going up yonder. Woo. Okay, now listen to me. I want you to hear what King David said. After all this time, King David said, if I have been accepted of God, get out of my way. I'm not going to let my servants build me anything. I'm going to get my own pocket. I don't want a handout. Don't give me your money so I can put it in the offering and pretend it's mine. Sometimes that's good. I got to tell you, when Regina and I was first getting started, we didn't have no money. And a man, I was sitting there one day, and Jesse the Planist was talking about all the money that God had given him. And I said, Lord, if I could just have $24 so I could bring my family to church and not miss one of the week of Pentecost meetings, I believe our lives will be changed. And sure enough, a guy came over. And he gave me the old Holy Ghost handshake. It was not a penny more. It was exactly $24. It was exactly $24. So I want you to know something. That immediately after I had been a Christian for several years, after the Holy Ghost him later, after I'd been a Christian for several years, guess what? It dawned on me. Lord, if I go to church tonight and someone else wants to give me a Holy Ghost handshake, instead of $24, I'll take $240 in the name of Jesus. I'm just kidding you. But why is it that we are not prepared for anything? Why is it that when I hear today about what's going on around in the world, I hear complaint and complaint, but I don't hear anybody saying, yeah, I get up early to watch the news because it starts my prayer day. I might watch for a few minutes just so I get an upgrade on what's going on around us. And then I start praying all up in the Holy Ghost. And by the time I pray from 5 to 10 o'clock, I'm at peace because I know that the world's safe and Jesus is coming back. We better labor. Labor could be physical work. Labor might be a baby that you travail for, and you do travail for babies in the natural. You have to take on heat and pains, and sometimes you're hot, and sometimes you got a hot flash, and you swell up, and sometimes you have hungers for things that you would never eat. But when you're baby travailing, you change. And my problem is that if that be true in the natural, where is the travail in the spirit to give birth? I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures here, and then I'm going to finish up. Do you believe me?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Thank you, Regina-itis. Woo! I want to get to where she gives me a private kiss quicker. That's why I'm going to preach short today. But it says here, work especially hard, physical, enduring work that will make you sore, work that will make you just have to sweat and burn and turn, and work that will make you really have to just dig deep to get through. That is the kind of labor that is spoken about when King David says, I will not give a sacrifice to God that cost me nothing. Now here's a reflection of Jesus. In the price includes labor and parts. Work cross the blood blessing. Ask an independent man. He'll tell you. Now, this is my labor, but this is the part. In the kingdom, people, you're going to have to labor in the spirit. Remember when the disciples came up to Jesus and said, we got a meal for you? He said, I got bread to eat that you know not of. What was he doing? Getting the word of God in him so he could handle Satan. Then all of a sudden they were looking for him. Where's he at? He's up early praying. What was he doing? Laboring in the realm of the spirit. See, my problem is that we finally got the revelation that we should work in the natural. Praise God. Most of the church is still working when they could be at home getting government paychecks. Praise God for your revelation in the natural that a man... Oh, let's read scripture because I don't want to say something that you don't believe in the Bible. So let's just read scripture because I just want to challenge you just a little bit. It says this in the Word of God. Am I crazy? I got to just throw this out here. I'm asking a question. Look, Regina says, yes, you are. Am I crazy to believe the entire city of Kitten can be saved. Am I crazy to believe that your pastor believes that one day we will be at the city square like it used to be years ago, and we will all stand in such a unity with hundreds and thousands of Kittenites from every church in this region joining together in such a unity around our court square that before you know it, the heavens open and God says that where my commanded blessing is, I can't help but bring my anointing. And what would happen if out on the street, not just in the house, I want in this house for people to fall under the glory of God. But what would happen if we just went and prayed so much that we were lunatics going up and down the road? In the Bible, there was a prophet that was naked, praying in the street with dung on him. Everybody thought he was nuts. God thought it was glorious. Listen, even if you don't like my dance steps, don't curse them. Philip? I ain't even watch no stupid TikTok videos either. I just worship in the Holy Ghost. Don't curse my dance moves, because I'm keeping my clothes on. But there was a man of God that got the right to bring. Baby. I won't tell them why I had to go shop. But listen, there was a man of God. There was a man of God that got so excited about bringing the Ark of the Covenant home that he danced all up out of his clothes. And unfortunately, his little arrogant, prideful wife, who was living up in a high-rise off of his labor. Hear me. Bob, we love you, brother. We're praying for you. But this man of God, who was scarred up from fighting lions, tigers, and bears, correct me sometimes, people. Did he fight lions, tigers, and bears? No, he fought a lion and a bear. But what I'm telling you is, here he had paid a price, got to bring the Ark of the Covenant home. His wife was dressed in clothes better than anybody had ever seen. She was up in the big luxury place looking down. And just because her husband got a little radical for God, she had the nerve to look at him and have a disgusted look. And you ought to look up what it cost her. So I'm telling you, don't hate me, dance like me. I can't wait till I get some people off of drug addiction. I can't wait till I find me a black person in this city that gets free from crack. And all of a sudden, when that door opens, it won't just be me. You guys see these worship videos and you love it. You read with that guy. You look at his worship video. And if you were at home in your kitchen, you'd be saying, thank God. But you come all up in the Kitten house that's free, ready for you to just praise, where you don't have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, where you should come up here and let this city know how free you are, and you should come up here and just get all up in the Holy Ghost, but you just sit there looking. I want some people to come up here and worship with me, because I'm telling you, I believe that right here, epilepsy can be set free. I believe that right here, those who have been insane will get set free. But God needs to come. Amen. I'll keep my clothes on. But listen. Listen. What do you think God would do if I wasn't just the only crazy one? Go look up, what's that Walker girl's name? Kim Walker Smith. You go read her story. And she said that God anointed her because he said, I want to see you dance. Like a little ballerina or like one of those things. It gives me joy, girl, to see you dance. So whether you like it or not, you come up by me and the anointing will knock you down. Bring it. I double dog dare you to one day come up here and worship with me in the presence of God. Even if you don't dance as crazy as I am, dodge my fist, because I can't say that I ain't going to be throwing hands or swinging. Dodge me a little bit. That'll even teach you some moves. Tell him, Angel, you've learned some moves by not answering my phone call. Ask Angel what you do if Pastor Phil calls you. Ah, but listen to me. I want to remind you that why are we so cultured? Why are we so together? I should film you guys at the football game. I should film you guys fishing. I should film you guys doing all kinds of stuff. Because you don't mind throwing that bowling ball. Woo! Can I get a woo for Jesus in the house? I've seen somebody shoot a bow. Woo! I got him, I got him, I got a deer. Come on, can we get some praise and worship for Jesus? Listen, I expect you. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. I expect you to be warriors because the Bible says this to us, that I will not give a sacrifice that doesn't cost me anything. And then the Bible says this to us in another scripture here. Look what it says in 2 Timothy. Are you ready? Or is it 2 Thessalonians? Sometimes when I'm up in the Holy Ghost, I write too quick. I can't even discern my writing. Oh, no. I'll find it here. Uh-oh. Is that it? Honey, you might have to find it for me. I need to know. I thought it was 2 Thessalonians chapter 5:8, but no. Oh, is that 1 Timothy? I got it. 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, oh my goodness, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Do you know what that word infidel means? You want to know? It means the vilest of rebellious, in your face, on purpose, hater of God. He doesn't say that these people are just worse than a sinner. He says this is a person who does not believe in any type of God and adheres to a religion other than one about Jesus and defiantly hates the things of God. That's an infidel. And here you are. The Bible says that if a man will not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And I want to tell you something. Most of you men think that that just means, well, I got to go to work, and I do a good job of that. No, no, no. The first place you're supposed to provide for your home as a priest is in the Word. Why do your children not have scriptures over them that they know came from their father declaring who they are? Why do your children not know anything but your big, bad, mean mouth when you're all frustrated instead of having your nice hands on them and believing for them? You are supposed to first provide for your household. I tell you what, your children ought to hear you praying in the Holy Ghost. Philip, did you ever hear your dad getting crazy? I tell you what, he gets so used to me because he's like, no, you guys don't know. I got to deal with this all the time. This ain't unusual. One time my wife came down the steps, no more than one time. I don't think we had steps. You came out of the back room and you said, Phil, what in the world are you doing? We have neighbors. It's 5 a.m. Quit beating on the wall and praying in the Holy Ghost. The police are going to come and an ambulance with a straitjacket is going to come right behind them. Stop! Then she went back to bed and I said, okay, baby. And I quit beating on the wall. Shaka-la-la-la. I beat on the floor. And I did quiet my voice down. Amen. But listen to me. Why have we as the church not provided for our own house? Then we wonder how our kids don't know their identity. We wonder how our kids fall away because we have been suckered by the devil to think that mom's faith and grandma's faith was enough. I don't got to go to church and be in that stucky environment. But when your kids go crashing into hell on earth, you have no idea because you ain't in the Word and you ain't got no words of life coming out of your mouth and you can't save nothing. And I'm not talking about you here. I'm talking about the church. All of you got words in your mouth, right? Every one of you got a favorite scripture. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Uh-oh. When I've done all, stand. Ooh, I don't have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Uh-oh. And then you got a crazy pastor that believes, since the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. and the violence going to take it by force. Thug, brutish, mean. Not to you guys, but to the devil. Listen, he don't want no parts of Phil Walker because I'm not interested in giving him a second chance. I will choke him. I will kick him. I'll do whatever the Lord tells me to do. I got mad when I read the scripture how Jesus cast them in the pigs because I said, Lord, you could do anything. Why'd you have mercy? You could send them to their fiery places burning right now. He didn't answer me, but he did giggle a little bit. Listen, I want you to hear me. Why do we think we've done it all as men when we've gone to work for 8 stinking hours? Come home, kick back, shut your mouth, turn the TV on. You have nothing good to say to your wife. You have nothing to say to your children, and all you want is your food. Listen, get up and go in the realm like Peter did. There was a time where Peter was waiting for his meal, and he climbed up on the roof after working way harder than we do because they didn't have tools to help them. Peter and those guys had to work by the sweat of their hands, and Peter came home, and he said, is dinner ready yet? And they said, no. He said, come and get me because I'm going up to the roof. And he climbed more steps after climbing all day, and he went and prayed, and as a result, he had a vision that brought life to many people. You got people dying around you because we have become the lazy church of the new age. We don't have no scripture in us. We don't know what we believe. They need a miracle. I hope so. Find that in any of the attitudes of the disciples, let alone the Lord. The leper said to the Lord, if you could, you would heal me. The Lord says, I will be that. Man, I'm almost done. Do you believe me?
Yes.
I've preached long. I don't hear anything. I've preached long. Amen. Now listen, I got to throw 2 things down on you. And then I'm going to be done. Do you believe it? Listen, we're going to sit in this thing till you hear me. Say amen. Listen to this now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. This is Paul the Apostle, killer of Christians. This is the man who stood up after killing Christians in the church where he probably killed some. I have no blood on my hands, and I've wronged no man. Here we are. We don't have enough faith in God to get rid of someone's yelling at us from 25 years ago. Now, I love you, but let's get some word in us so that we can be like Paul. He says, oh, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And then he has the nerve to say this. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. How cocky is that? Nobody disputed him. You will not find one scripture that disputes the idea that he labored more abundantly than them all. We act like we're surprised that Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Why? He got the revelation that if I was wrong and now I'm right, if I die for him like he died for me, I can transform the world. I labored more abundantly than you all. But the grace of God which was with me, therefore whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believe. Now I want you to know, you can read that on your own because we're going to see what kind of labor he talked about. He was in fastings more than you all. He was in beatings more than you all. Oh, we're going to get back into this. But I want you to know something. I labored more abundantly than they all. In other words, when they were working, I worked twice as hard. When they were feeling pain, I suffered through twice as much pain. When that was hard physical labor, I stuck in deeper. Let me tell you something. Just like Jesus, when he said, disciples, come away and pray for me and pray with me. When they fell asleep, he was pressing in. When they fell asleep, he was pressing in. I pray to God that we have fathers today that when their sons fall asleep, they'll press in. I'm going to keep my jacket on because it's the only thing keeping me halfway normal. I got to give you something here. Why don't we have the testimony of Paul? I've labored more abundantly in fasting and prayer and being beat. One time I was stoned so bad, they threw me out for dead. And here I am, standing back up when God recovered me, and I didn't run down the street to a different city. I went right back into the city where they stoned me to death, and I preached the gospel with more conviction I did the day before. I pray to God that they string me up one day, that they beat me, they hurt me, they hit me so hard I can't even walk. And I pray that you guys lay hands on me. And I pray that by the next day, I come right back to the same city, the same platform. And I say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I got one more thing to say, and then I'm going to shut my big mouth. Would that be a blessing, honey? If I shut up before 12, can I get 2 kisses? Come on. Oh, if I shut up before... Oh, okay. I better stay focused. Reginitis. Ooh. If I shut up before 12, can I have 1 for the Father, 2 for the Son, 3 for the Holy Ghost? Mama, let's run. Oh, we're finishing for today. We're finishing for today. Hear me, church. Hear me. John. Are you ready? John 12:32. Listen, guys. I'm obviously in a new place of God's authority. So it's going to take me a few weeks to calm down and get hermeneutically correct. Just bear with me. My authority's changed. It's your fault. You wanted a pastor that would serve God. And me and that young lady serves God. She's more serious than I am. So I'm here because of your prayers. I'm here because this city needs saved. And I'm here because I ain't interested in a couple hundred. If we're only a church of 200 or 300, whatever that is, I'm fine with that. But I'm not fine without the city being saved. I'm not going to be satisfied with one Kentonite not knowing who they are in God. Well, how can I have that kind of attitude? Because it's a God attitude. If you don't want me to have this attitude, just take the scriptures and rip them from what God says. He's the one that said, I will that every soul would be saved. Now listen, John, what did I say? 12:32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw a handful of men, 2 or 3 in my name. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up from the earth, and not just as the lamb that was slain, but if you will honor me as the lion of the tribe of Judah, I will be lifted up from this earth, and I will draw all men unto me. Now you understand why I'm not happy with 1 or 2 getting saved this month. I tell you what, I would be thankful for 1 soul to come to the kingdom. It's enough that the heavens are open. But my problem is, why is the church today not believing for 3,000 in 1 service? I'll tell you why. We got no altar time, we got no Bible time, and we got no God time. Don't raise your hands. But how many of us, even in this church, have arrogantly went a day without the word? Why listen to it on audio? I don't care about your audio. That's second heaven revelation. Well, I read my day. I don't care about your daily devotional. Add that to your Bible reading, but don't replace your Bible reading. I love you, but even when Pastor Phil writes his book that's going to light your eyes up, girl, don't be talking about my book more than you're talking about the Word. You won't. Listen to me. I don't want to hear what someone else had to say. Don't repost on Facebook some I won't say trash, but don't repost on Facebook all these tweets from somebody else. Why don't you get up early, get your own scripture, and just post that? Do you not believe in yourself? Do you not believe that your voice isn't enough? Your voice was enough to break the devil's stronghold out of the most strongest place he ever had. That was over your life. When we come up to get saved, we know what our baggage is. When we get up to get saved, we know where we've been. When we come up to get saved, we know what's behind the scenes that we ain't ever told anybody. And if we're brave enough to come up here in that state and give our heart to God and get transformed, what would happen if all of us started posting the scripture of the day? And before you know it, you said, hey, bro, I didn't even talk to you, but that's the same scripture I got. What would happen instead of Facebook being blown up with a bunch of political trash that means nothing right now? What would happen if Facebook was blew up with a scripture from Proverbs 24:10 that says, if I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is small. Hey, brother, thanks for the word. I'm going to go ahead and get some scripture in me and strengthen up. I would love it this week if you guys would take the hate book challenge and instead of getting your outward face and feelings on there, why don't you get something from your inward man and let that which comes from the hidden place be revealed by God? John 10:10, the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Now remember, if I be lifted up, why can't we believe for one more than one or two people? Why in the world do we believe we have to put secular music in the holy place of God? I love you, but when we do a wedding here, there'll be no secular music. I love you. Now, if I'm coming out to your house, I ain't got no problem. If you want to have something out in the country, I'll come out there. And listen, Regina will tell you, I've done weddings in my cowboy boots, my flannel, in a nice barn. And when I did that wedding that day, people were holding their beer. Didn't bother me one bit, did it, Philip? In fact, the one guy came, weren't you? You weren't there. Oh, yeah, that was when you were still, yeah. In fact, one guy came up to me and said, we were so glad to show you the new Eagles Club. I said, what's wrong with the old one? They said, well, we had a room up there that had all the KKK stuff in it. But in this new building, us new generation, come on. Oh, I said the club, didn't I? I don't know if that was the right name. But this new generation... This new generation said, come on, we want to show you our new place because we don't have that room anymore. I said, come on. This is a wedding that I did. We'll hide some of those details. But we did that wedding. They were throwing down, drinking beer. And I walked in. We didn't have no bridal shower. We didn't have no perception. We didn't have no da-da-da-da-da. All I did was come to the front and said, okay, we're about to have this wedding. And then I preached the gospel. But listen to me. We ain't doing that in the sanctuary. It's a holy place. Set apart for God. The Bible says, if I be lifted up on the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Listen. When I see two or three souls get saved, I'm going to shout the victory. When I see four or five get saved, I'm going to shout the victory. But your pastor's believing for a time where when I call out for salvation, Lazarus doesn't just come out of the grave inside the house. I pray that one day I call for salvation and those doors open and the whole city runs in here to get saved, because the Lord said, if I be lifted up on the earth, I will draw all men, draw all men unto me. I'm not happy with a few hundred in Kenton. I'm not happy with 1,000 in Kenton. If whatever that number is, they can all come into the house of God. Amen. And the blood was shed for that reason. I want you to know that one of the biggest things that caused the flood is that people returned to their own house and did what was right in their own mind. We got too many people saying, well, I love God, but I don't go to church. That's exactly what the devil wants. Read the Bible. He wants us scattered. Because when we think we can have our own relationship with God, I don't go to church. Me and God got our own thing. Woo, I have to have the Holy Ghost. And then the next thing I got to do is hear blah, 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 cussing like a sailor. Now, I love you, but we got to make some adjustments. And that's a sign of someone trying to build their own house relationship with God without the strengthening of their brothers and sisters. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that our labor would not be in the natural, but our labor would be so deep in the realm of God, whether we're dancing while we worship and sing in the Holy Ghost, God, whether we are fasting and praying, but God, that we release a labor of God that brings you to the temple, that brings you into our houses, and God, that the whole world is saved because Jesus be lifted up. God, let us labor. Now, Lord, I'll tell you why you're bringing up these offerings. I know you guys thought it was weird when I had my binoculars, but I was remembering Jesus because he said, labor now, because there comes a day when no man can work. And I was looking here and looking there, because I'm not just looking for the prodigal. I'm looking for anybody who would be willing to be saved. Now, when you bring your offering to the front, I pray that you say, Lord, today I'm going to give a sacrifice that costs me something. I'm not just going to give something casual that's easy, like me flipping a piece of candy out of my pocket. No, I'm going to give something that means something. I'm going to give something that I'm believing for my household to be saved. I'm believing that me and my wife are going to get pregnant. I'm believing that sickness is going to leave. I'm believing that my brother, who's an alcoholic and not saved, comes back to the Lord. I'm believing that myself would catch fire and that I would be a firestorm going up into the heavens, believing you, God. Because if I do have a family, I want to make sure that the authority in which I believe and pray with is enough to save the household. God bless you. You are released. I'll be up here to... Oh, let's do prayer requests. Honey, I finished when I was supposed to. Now you're holding it over.
Amen. Well, we're going to pray for Amy Murphy's niece, Julie. She's fighting COVID and she's in the hospital right now. She's already lost her baby. And so, Father God, we just lift Julie up before you in the name of Jesus. And we just ask you to bring peace to her heart, Lord. Bring peace to her family. You said that you would send the comforter to comfort her. And we just ask that you do that. And Lord God, we curse COVID in the name of Jesus out of her body. And we ask that we speak to those lungs. We command those lungs to breathe in, Father God, and to be healed and to be clear in Jesus' name. Father God, we declare over Julie that she will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you that you are with her and this is a battle she is in. Amen. And Father, we thank you that you have touched her and moved on her behalf. And we give you glory that she will live and not die and declare your works, Lord. Amen. God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bring your offering.
Amen. Yes, bring.
And do it with a reverencing heart, knowing that you're bringing what you believe provides for your family to the God who will show you the unlimited power in which he redeems. And just let the Lord bless you today and strengthen you, be merciful and give you hope in Jesus' name. Amen.